the ball high in the air, deep to left center field. Shea Whitcomb for his first big league home run. There it is. 10 to 15 rows deep. Whitcomb's first in the big leagues gives the Astros a 2-0 lead.
Welcome to Shea Day.
That's right. Shea Whitcomb with his first career home run, helping your Houston Astros. Our Houston Astros get their eighth win in nine games. They held on to their seven-game lead atop the American League West. And even better than that, they are now four games up in the greater American League standings over both the New York Yankees and now, get this, the Toronto Blue Jays. Next man up, the story of the 2025 Houston Astros. God wills it! Indeed he does. So, clearly the Astros are doing pretty well, all things considered. You know, they're dealing with a lot of injuries. The most recent update for Yordan Alvarez, a promising one. Apparently he's just dealing with inflammation. It has nothing to do with the fracture that he has in his hand. And they also are saying Jeremy Pena might actually be relatively close to coming back to baseball activities, which is wild, wild, and almost unbelievable. So instead, let's take a look at the believable. Isn't it fun to see the enemies of the Astros continue to struggle? So first off, the Yankees are falling apart. And this is quite amusing for me. Will they fall apart? Will they be done at the end of the year? I don't know. But the Yankees are 4-6 in their last 10, and the Blue Jays, who have won four in a row, including now three in a row over the Yankees, they're tied atop the American League East with them. That four-game series between the Blue Jays and Yankees in Toronto wraps up tonight at 6:07. The Yankees are looking to avoid a sweep. Last night, New York lost 11-9. So that's why they are four games back of the Astros for the two seed in the American League. Also of note, goodness gracious, the Texas Rangers have been a tire fire this year. And unlike the Netflix TV show Tires, starring Shane Gillis, they are 9.5 games out in the American League West and below 500 at 43-44. They did win two in a row for what it's worth. And it's interesting seeing some of the commentary that is coming out of Rangers camp. Specifically, these comments that came from a newcomer to the Texas Rangers just a moment ago. Kevin Pillar, I don't care. He's not a real person because he's not an Astro. But he had this to say after leaving the Atlanta Braves for the Texas Rangers. Quote, I thought they would be a little bit tighter as a group. I thought it would be like my experience in Atlanta. Everyone wanted to pull on the same rope. What does that mean? You could turn that sexual if you wanted. Everyone wanted to hang out and do everything together. Winning was the most important thing every day, but it sounds like they had a little something called family based off of that observation. Dom Toretto would be proud. Family. What I got in the clubhouse in Texas, there's a lot of talent in there. There's a lot of individual stuff going on. Ooh, individual stuff. That was meant to be a shot. A lot of guys are doing their own thing. You might not see people until the game. Guys are kind of just doing their own thing. Not a lot of batting practice, not a lot of stretching together. Maybe for me, just being the outcast, is a lot of the same guys that won the World Series, so maybe I was kind of on the outside. I was looking for more of a way to get in that inner circle, and that comes through stretching and batting practice, where you talk about things that aren't baseball and get to know guys. It comes through stretching. Well, I mean, you know, we know the stories about the Texas Rangers minor league system. So, Pilar's now with the Blue Jays. Wait, where the hell is he now? He's been to like a million teams. He is with the – oh, he's still with the Rangers. Interesting. So he's saying this. I, for some reason, thought – the way he's talking about it, it's like he's not on the Rangers anymore. So he's saying this. Meanwhile, you got Josh Jung, who just got sent down to the minors. And isn't it crazy that the Rangers season has gotten to this point from where Jock Peterson, who they signed this offseason, was saying this crap?
played the Astros a couple times in the World Series, and they put together a nice little run, and it's coming to an end, and it's time for us to take over the West. And
not so fast, my friends. That you're behind the Mariners, for God's sake. 2.5 games back of the Mariners, for what it's worth. So it's an Ascalon Anything Thursday. Goodness gracious, Rangers. Losers. Goodness gracious, Yankees. Losers. And we'll see what the Astros do against the Dodgers this week, and I'm very excited for it. It is an Ascalon Anything Thursday. What do we got? What do we got? David Dubel asks, Paul, do you think you could hit a homer at Coors? Here's my big problem, because I'm definitely strong enough to swing a bat around and actually make contact with a bat for the first time in my life. But the big problem for me is after two swings, my shoulder messes up. Like something happens where I feel intense pain when I swing a baseball bat. I do not have this problem with golf clubs, but it's somewhere in my back left delt. Whenever I swing a bat, like I experience intense pain. So I can't swing for the fences. I doubt I would be able to hit a home run. I think I could get it deep in the left center gap. I've honestly never hit an altitude, so I truly couldn't tell you. Hugh Data Team says Paulie can't hit off a team. Hit off a tee. No, I'm pretty damn athletic. I can do just about everything sports wise and look competent. You know, can I do it well? That's another question. We really depend on what kind of pitching am I facing. Am I facing a batting practice? And do I get one swing? Do I get one swing at it before my shoulder f's up? Because usually it's the second swing that I make where the shoulder kind of, or whatever the hell's going on there, messes up. But it's long answer short, probably not. Probably not. I'm like 10% certain on my best day that I would get to the warning track once if I were thrown 10 pitches, you know? Like, so, out of the park, not my game. If I had continued playing baseball, which I quit. Paul, stop talking about your high school playing days. What was the sport you actually sucked at? Fine, I'll stop talking about it. It is an Ascalon Anything Thursday. 713-780-3776 to call it the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Some people are saying I should get it fixed. No, it's not a natural motion. I don't play baseball. You know, the only sport I play from time to time is flag football, which 36, still pretty damn good. What do we got here on an Ascalon Anything Thursday? Someone asks if I'm a Love Island guy. You feel like a Love Island guy. Well, just call me gay. Just call me gay if you're going to say you look like a Love Island guy. For what it's worth, I used to watch The Bachelor with a girl that I was dating a couple of years ago. She was awesome. I got in trouble because her parents were listening once in the morning, and I made some comments that suggested that we had been engaging in activities and her parents were rather religious. But we actually used to watch The Bachelor. I got really into it. I was surprised by how into it I got into it. The problem was the show started airing twice a week, and I was like, this is 2 hours twice a week? Get lost. That's too much. With the commercial breaks, too. But I really got into it, and I went to a party the first time I ever watched an episode. I think it was like towards the end of the season with Becca. So this is like 2018 or something like that. She's just like brunette, strong, powerful, independent woman. And I remember I was watching it with like a bunch of girls, and I was making commentary, and they thought it was funny, and they thought that I was like a poor man's version of Jared Freed, who is this hilarious comedian that will like watch along with The Bachelor and make fun of The Bachelor as he watches it, and he puts it on his Instagram story. It's really funny. And they thought I sounded like a poor man's version of him, both in terms of voice tone and hater quality. So there you go. What else do we have on an Ascalon Anything Thursday? Ask Paul, if you could be traded for another host on 97.5, who would you want to be traded for? Well, if I'm making the same amount of salary, I would love to switch back with Dell and do the two-hour solo show. But, I mean, I've always wanted to do afternoons. But I would do it with anybody, okay? I do it by myself. I guess the money is generally in mornings, so I think Lance and I have too much ADD for that show to work. I think that John and I could work because we're both different, and I think I would annoy John, and I think John would be good at pressing my buttons. So maybe with Lance? But I don't know if Lance would want to do a show for 3 hours by himself. The ADD would be rampant on that one. Like, Lance and I, we're pretty bad as far as getting pulled off the main topic, you know? Speaking of Lance, a text. Have you ever smoked brisket? If so, do you think it would taste better than Lance's brisket? I know Lance always posts pictures, and it's like he's rage baiting. He posts pictures of brisket that looks dried out. I'm a pretty good cook. I do think the first couple of times doing a brisket, I probably would not get it ideally where I want to get to it. But thanks to the power of inheriting my dad's obsessive compulsive disorder, I do think that I would learn the process pretty well. Like, I'm a decent cook. Every now and then I post on my Instagram story. You might have seen Sunday night the perfectly cooked steak that I ate. But I don't think I would do very well at first. I think it would take me some time. But I do think that anyone is capable of cooking. It is really a matter of, like, actually just following instructions and maybe taking certain liberties with yourself. Undercooked is best with meat if you're not talking about chicken. Like, I did a prime rib a couple of times for Christmas, and I just ate it on my own, like an absolute barbarian. It was, like, 1 week of just, like, all steak. Probably gave myself a little bit of, like, you know, cholesterol down the road, but hell to the yeah, everybody. So there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776. Check the call and text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Johnny Wishbone asks this question. Who would you least like to do a show with on 97.5? Everyone. I like it by myself. I don't think it's Joe. I had fun doing the show with Joe, but I'm at my best when I'm by myself, at least in my opinion. Many people disagree. Paul, you have too much ADD. You love this stream of consciousness, and you know it. You know it. And Johnny, I do not have a comorbidity. Like, I have the best cholesterol in the game, and I have the lowest heart rate in the game. Like, sometimes I stand up and I get faint. So there you go, everybody. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Thursday live at Landry's Seafood House. Up next for weekend homework, I'm going to pop into this Paloma. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, my man at the bar is really good. Shout out to him. So it's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Come out and hang out with us. Make sure if you're stopping by Landry Seafood House that you register to win a pair of tickets. Check that. Pair of tickets? What am I talking about?
Paul, I thought you were good on the radio on your own.
No, not in this moment right here. But you could potentially win a pair of e-bikes from our friends at Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. Stay put.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
What a song. I think we started playing this before World War One to get people going. But, I mean, it's pretty awesome. I'm going to read the lyrics. Over there. Send the word over there. The Yanks are coming. I hate the word the Yanks, don't you? Like, we have to be associated with the New York Yankees, loser franchise by association. The drums rum-tumming everywhere. So prepare. Say a prayer. Send the word to beware. We'll be over, we're coming over, and we won't come back till it's over there. Hell yeah. USA! USA! Happy America. Happy birthday, America. The United States of America, 1776, July 4th. That's right. That's when it all went down. I don't know why I'm adding this accent in. Perhaps it's Paloma that I'm now nursing. Speaking of the United States of America, that's a country. Australia, another country, and pour out your Fosters because the Rockets have waived Jock Landale, the legend. I'm bummed out about that. I like Jock Landale, but I get it. I mean, they upgraded at center. They have three really good centers now between Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams and now Clint Capela aboard. So you should be able to go the full distance. You can play the too big lineup that will frustrate a lot of teams because it's like a zag in the direction away from space-oriented basketball. And the Rockets just have so much size. So there will be injuries over the course of this year. You get why they move on from Jock Landale. I do feel for him. Like, he gets to experience 1 year of the Rockets getting good. Hopefully he finds himself a good place. He seemed like a good dude.
Paul, he's still alive. What are you talking about like he's dead?
Fine. I get it. All right. It isn't Ask Alon Anything Thursday. The Astros, meanwhile, they've won 8 of 9. They try to sweep the Colorado Rockies. I believe their game against the Rockies is going to get underway any moment now, if it hasn't already. I think the first pitch was supposed to be a 2:10, but looking at my scoreboard right now, it is not updated. They have a 4-game lead in the American League for the 2 seed over the New York Yankees and Toronto Blue Jays. And on top of that, a 7-game lead in the AL West over the Seattle Mariners. This weekend, big-time series. It's time for your weekend homework on an Ask Alon Anything Thursday.
So, what are we doing this weekend?
Yeah, what are we doing?
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too.
Because Paul Gallant has weekend homework for you.
This is an awesome baseball weekend. Astros-Dodgers 2017 World Series rematch. Still bad blood between the fan bases. Maybe not so much between the two teams anymore. Friday night, it's Lance McCullers. Uh-oh. That's all I got to say about that. Uh-oh. It's not the National League Central, so at the very least, there's that going on for Lance. Saturday, 6:15 on Fox. It's Astros-Dodgers again. It's Framber Valdez against Shohei Ohtani. Yes, he's starting again. Now, to this point this year, Ohtani hasn't thrown more than 2 innings in a game yet. This will be his 4th start since his return to the mound after having elbow surgery. We will see how that goes for Ohtani, if he'll actually get 3-4 innings or so. Look, the Dodgers are the best team in the National League, and on paper, best team in baseball. Max Muncy suffered a pretty graphic injury last night. Clayton Kershaw still pitching for the Dodgers. Got a record strikeout, but that Max Muncy injury was rough. And it was a tough moment for the Dodgers broadcast and Dodger Joe Davis. Tip of the hat to them for being professional, because the Max Muncy injury was really bad. I watched the replay. They were like, "We made the decision. We're not going to show the replay." And then Clayton Kershaw, they got a record for strikeouts. And they're like, "Clayton Kershaw, record for strikeouts." It was pretty funny. Go check it out for yourself online. So that's a Saturday night, 6:15, Framber and Shohei. And then on Sunday, it's Colton Gordon versus who knows. So the Dodgers, oh, wow, looks like they're pretty scared of the Astros. They're not even announcing who they're starting at pitching on Friday and on Sunday. Bunch of cowards. Sunday, USA-Mexico. It's the Gold Cup Final. And it's here at NRG Stadium. If you're going, I'm just going to tell you this. Keep your head on a swivel, especially if you're sitting high up. This is especially with heightened tensions between Americans, Mexicans, and perhaps Mexican-Americans and American whatever the hells, you know. We're all mutts, I think, in this country. We are all Americans. I hate that we divide ourselves. But you know what? I think a lot of people have a lot of pride in their nationality. I know I have a lot of pride in being an Irish-American and a French-Canadian-American and all that crap. But, like, I'm a mutt. A lot of people in this country are mutts.
Paul, that sounds like a slur.
What? We call dogs that. I didn't say mudblood, you know. I didn't go Harry Potter or anything like that. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to this game, be careful. I think people tend to be at their worst when it comes to soccer games between these two teams. Excuse me, these two countries. And I mean, not to paint with a broad brush, but I do think that the worst of Mexico's soccer fans are some of the worst in sports fans anywhere. I don't care about the slur thing. I do care about throwing bottles and cans on the pitch, which they do all the effing time. So be careful if you're going. The U.S. on a bit of a hot streak against the Gold Cup. They beat Costa Rica
in a game where they were losing. They missed a penalty kick. And after missing the penalty kick, they got in a fight. Like, there's a bit of a brawl. Like, one of the Costa Rican players went up to the American player after he missed the penalty kick, got in his face, and then there was a kerfuffle, if you will. And then they beat Guatemala earlier this week thanks to Diego Luna, who won, and he was, like, bleeding. So some signs of toughness from the American team, from the U.S. men's national team. We shall see. But there you go, Gold Cup final on Sunday. And as far as movies are concerned, it is a Thursday. Saturday, I'm going to do my first double feature in years. I'm not doing a sneak. I paid full price. But the lady and I, along with my buddy Brad and his wife, we're going to do a double feature. So we're seeing Jurassic World. Got to say about Jurassic World, I'm not expecting much. I enjoyed the first of the Chris Pratt movies. The second one sucked. But Scarlett Johansson's in this, so I like strong, powerful, independent women. Paul, are you going to be there with your girlfriend? I am. She can appreciate a good-looking gal, too. By the way, Scarlett Johansson is in the news again. She's married to Colin Jost. She said that as a young actress, she was offered a lot of roles because of desirability in the male gaze. A lot of the roles, they didn't have a lot of ambition or character arcs, and she was just kind of mad about that. Okay. Well, I'm watching your blockbuster movie because you're in it. So, I mean, you can be mad about it, but, like, I don't know. Accept your strengths, right? I get it. Like, being objectified probably would suck. It would be nice to be objectified. We all get objectified a little bit. I get objectified by generally gay men, which I have no problem with. It's complimentary. Just don't touch me. Don't touch me. You know, that's where we draw the line. But, you know, we all want to be objectified a little bit. I suppose if you're, like, an A-list actor, maybe not so much. But, Scarlett, that's why people are going to go watch the movie. So I'm watching that first, and then I'm watching F1. My seats are very close, and I'm a little concerned about that because everyone's going to see it. It blew up at the box office week one. So I've heard it's awesome. I like Brad Pitt. I feel like I could get into racing if I watch this. We'll see how it goes. But I have not seen a double feature in a while. So that's your weekend homework. I will be talking probably about both of these movies on Monday. It is an Ask Lon Anything 30. Thursday. Jesus Christ, Paul. You've had one Paloma. Not even one. Like half a Paloma. An Ask Lon Anything 30? What is that? It's an Ask Lon Anything Thursday on the Paul Gallant Show here at Landry's Seafood House. On the wall in Galveston. Beautiful view of the Gulf of America. Come on out here to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I feel compelled to salute the battle hymn of the Republic. Let's effing go! Happy birthday, America, number 249. Hopefully it will be our best year yet. Very cool that we're still kind of young as a country, you know? We're sort of in, like, middle age range, right where Paul Gallant is, no? 36? Is 249 in country years the 36 in human years? A great question. I will leave that up to you. Anyway, on an Ask Gallant Anything Thursday, you can ask any question. I'll work it into the show at 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Someone texted in Gulf of Mexico. No, this weekend it's the Gulf of America. Sorry. I think it's hilarious to call it the Gulf of America. It's a gulf. Like, it doesn't matter what we name it at all. It pisses off Mexico. And by the way, rivalry weekend. We're playing them in soccer this weekend. So I'm cool with it being the Gulf of America this week. Can we get it for 3 days, 4 days? Rent it without paying for it? Because, I mean, technically, I mean, it's North America, the continent that it's on. Wouldn't it make sense to call it the Gulf of America? Because if it's in North America and it's touching the two biggest, two of the three biggest North American countries by landmass, I mean, shouldn't it be the Gulf of America? I'm just asking the question. Astros took down the Rockies yesterday. The Astros-Rockies game is underway. The internet here is basically like 10 minutes on delay, so some of your texts I'm getting about 10 to 15 minutes after you're sending them. Our Twitch is not working today. At least as far as what I see on my phone right now, it is 2-2 Astros in the top of the second inning, two runs from the Astros in the top of the first. Cam Smith, once again, a two-run double. A double. And then Christian Walker got a sacrifice ground out. we'll call it that. And Brandon Walter gave up a home run, a two-run homer in the first inning. So we'll see how long he lasts. The lineup today for the Astros, Paredes leading off, Jake Meyer second, Altuve third, Cam Smith cleanup. Christian Walker's batting fifth. I mean, that's kind of where you're at right now. Victor Caratini. In the bottom of the order is Cooper Hummel, Shea Whitcomb, and Mauricio Dubon. So there you go. We'll see how the Astros do. Would be nice to get a sweep going into their season series, their only season series against the LA Dodgers. This time in Chavez Ravine against at Dodger Stadium, which is a fun ballpark to go to. If you're going to the game this weekend, much like I would advise you going to USA Mexico game, head on a swivel. Be careful, especially if you're with family, especially if you're with kids. Just constant vigilance. I mean, you don't want to have happen to you what happened to that poor mother with an Indiana Pacers fan leaving Game 7 of the finals and getting accosted by Oklahoma City hooligans. You know, the lady was with a kid. What a bunch of rat bastards. They don't deserve that team. Should be back in Seattle. Anyway, Yordan Alvarez, it's inflammation. The setback was just inflammation. That's what the Astros are saying. That's what they're saying. I'm not saying it. I'm not a doctor. My sister's a doctor. I feel like I am as capable of speaking on injuries as the Astros medical staff these days. But perhaps because of the messaging that was given out by Dana Brown and the Astros on Tuesday, perhaps this is actually a situation where the medical staff isn't as bad as it was made out to be in those moments, because they made it seem like the setback was more of a fracture. As far as Jeremy Pena is concerned, seems like he is relatively close to returning to baseball activities, which is rather surprising. He broke a rib. Every Thursday at 2:30, we do a segment called How Far Is Too Far? Hit it!
Paul Gallant asks a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? And you gotta ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
How far is too far? Calling the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. The text line is getting very pissy about this. One texter called me Trump Jr. Another texter, I think this is a great suggestion from the 936, the winner of USA-Mexico in the Gold Cup on Sunday should have golf rights. I agree. Screw it. Put a little something on the line. Why not? Now, maybe Mexico doesn't want to give that up. Like, they have that. It's always been there. It's like, what do they have to gain? Is there a lake? That could be the exchange. One of the great lakes would be Lake Mexico until the next Gold Cup game between the U.S. and Mexico. How about that? Like, the biggest Great Lake. And the most American-sounding Great Lake. What are the Great Lakes? There's Huron. There's Superior. There's Michigan. I don't know. Someone help me out with that. I forgot the other two names. All right. It is an Ask Alone Anything Thursday. How far is too far? If you got any questions, hit it. Sean Mapes and I might be about to be embracing debate. Paul Feinbaum says that Arch Manning, who has played all of not that many snaps, perhaps very few snaps outside of the red zone. Under center for Texas, per our, per Paul Feinbaum of the ESPN family, Arch Manning is the best college quarterback, could be the best college quarterback, since Tim Tebow. I do not like anyone putting my college lord and savior, Tim Tebow, in the same conversation as anyone, because he is the greatest college football quarterback of my lifetime. No debate on that. Bring up a name. Bring up a name. Did he
Arch
win
Manning.
A national title?
There you go.
There he is. There's Mr. UT, Sean Mapes, back in Mission Control. All right, so Sean, if we're being real here.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Paul Feinbaum's being Paul Feinbaum.
Yes.
Do you, like, how true do you think this is? Do you think this is actually going to be the case?
No.
I mean, he was fun in spots this past season, for sure. I liked him, honestly, more than Quincy Ewers at times last year.
Yeah, I think that he's definitely, like, more physically gifted than
Tim Tebow.
No, I mean, time will tell. I mean, he can throw the ball better. I can tell you that right
no,
now.
No, anyone can. Yeah, that's fair.
Mike Allstott, though, can I playing quarterback.
Hey, don't go that far. I love Mike Allstott, but there you
I
go.
Know. I mean, I think he has a ways to go before he catches up, you know, with Joe Burrow at LSU, Cam Newton. Like, it's a tall mountain to climb before you get to Tim Tebow levels. You know, people would argue that those guys might be better than Tim Tebow. That people might argue that. Not this
yeah.
show. Not Paul.
Not me, at least.
I think this is Paul Feinbaum. I think this is the kickoff to college football discussion for this season, like preview discussion. I think Paul Feinbaum came in and just like dropped a nuke on us. Just to like, how about this?
Good.
How about this?
Good.
How about this take right before 4th of July? We'll come back
yeah.
for the holiday, and then we'll all be arguing about college football for until January for the rest
good,
of the
good
year.
Good on Paul Feinbaum for
no,
doing this, because honestly, there's a part of me that has let college football fall through the cracks. I am very excited to see what Arch Manning and Texas do this year. I think the Aggies should be better. Am I crazy thinking that? I don't know. I feel like there's been a lot of underachieving the last few years. We will see what happens on that front. But this is the actual quote from Paul Feinbaum when asked about what his expectations are for Arch. The absolute roof. I think there's a reasonably good chance Arch Manning will be sitting on the front row in New York at the Heisman ceremony. That's assuming his team does what it's supposed to do and compete not only for the SEC but for the national title. I believe they will. I think Steve Sarkisian, who was one of the most amazing play callers we've ever seen, made a critical mistake late in the year. He was too loyal to Quinn Ewers, who was banged up and really ineffective. Had Arch Manning been instituted in the second half of that playoff game, like Nick Saban did a couple of years ago with Tua, I think there's a reasonably good chance that Texas would have beaten Ohio State and won the national championship. They're very capable of doing it again this year. I believe also that Arch Manning is the best college football quarterback we have seen since Tim Tebow entered the scene in 2006. So we talked about the second half of that. Do you think that they would have won, Sean, if they put in Arch Manning? I know we had this conversation, and I kind of got that sense watching the national championship as well. And, I mean, look, the pick six made the final score significantly different
yeah.
than the actual reality of what that game was, which was like a defensive battle until that happened. But I did love watching Arch Manning in the red zone, and maybe that would have been better in the red zone than Quinn Ewers, who obviously screwed up.
Yeah. I think that the I guess, right second-guessing or, you know, backseat driving that you can do isn't, like, should Quinn Ewers have been benched at halftime of that game. It's just, like, before, like, earlier in that season, whenever you want to, like, pinpoint the spot where you're like, this is where the benching should have happened. Just
yeah.
because, throwing Arch Manning in against Georgia when they're already down, I think they're down like 18 at that point, and just hit. Oh, by the way, the offensive line still can't block Georgia. Doesn't matter who's back there.
Yeah,
and then
that.
Doing that again in the Ohio State game would have been a bad, I think a bad way to go about it. But if you could have found like a soft spot in the schedule to get his feet wet, and then you know, ride out the season from there. But I think just throwing him in like Tua in the national championship game, I don't know if that would have actually changed much of anything.
Okay. I'm always going to wonder about it. That one play, I mean, it really changed that entire game
and,
so much.
And the play right before halftime where they Travion Henderson takes a screen pass to touchdown.
I mean, like, they had it.
It really was.
Screen
two plays.
Pass. Yeah. And that was like a screw it.
Yeah. Just like,
let's
hey,
see what happens.
They'll be guarding the Hail Mary. Maybe we just get a little bit closer with the screen pass. Oh, right. Touchdown.
Touchdown. Jeez. We'll see what Texas does this season. A couple of Texans were like, no way, Sark will underachieve. Blah, 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 blah. Someone also texts in Vince Young as athletic, if not more athletic than Tim Tebow. And another person texted in, yes, Arch is more athletic than Tebow. 6'4", 225 range, 22 miles per hour.
I mean, that's
not denying. Arch was good in spots and was very athletic in spots, and they used his athleticism more than they used his arms. So.
It's just like, what do you define as athletic? And I wasn't thinking about Vince Young because he said since Tim Tebow, and Vince Young was before Tebow.
Yeah.
So I was thinking more recent guys. But it depends on what you define athleticism as. Like,
yeah.
Arch Manning's probably faster than Tebow was in his day.
Probably.
Tim Tebow was also a battering ram that would run over dudes, run over linemen. Like, he did that in the NFL. Like, how do you
Oklahoma
measure
drill?
That?
Oklahoma drill against each other? Is that how we settle this? We have to get a time machine first.
Yeah, I was going to say Tim Tebow's like 30 now. No, probably like 35 now. So
he's about my age.
Let's do it.
It would be cool. I mean, like, because now Tim Tebow is like saving the children across the world because he's a great person. I'd love to see this. I am biased for Tim Tebow. For those who don't know, I like the Gators, but also like I was playing high school football in Florida at the same time Tim Tebow was, and I like to think, even though I was at the absolute bottom rung of the sport and Tim was at the top, I like to think that we're brothers.
Yeah, you're connected.
And that's why we were brothers. It is an Ask a Lot Anything Thursday, and yes, the Paloma has hit, as you could tell from that moment right there. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Thursday on the Paul Gallant Show, live at Landry's Seafood House on the Galveston Seawall. Let me tell you about my friends at Green Street. It's street and it's green. I'm kidding. It's not. It's not actually a green street. But the Saturday after this one, July 12th, from 2 to 6, right before the Silver Boot Series between Houston and Texas. Houston against everybody. Am I right? Bleep y'all! You want to get rowdy before the rivalry. We're going to be having a party in downtown Houston with a game day block party. There's going to be a live DJ, a kick-ass band, a mechanical bull, a bedazzler station. Ooh, should I get bedazzled? Should I get my Astros jersey bedazzled? Oh, my goodness. And more special surprises, food, drinks, and good trouble. Huh, what about the bad trouble? Just kidding. Good trouble. Free parking and a free shuttle to the game. All you got to do is RSVP ahead of time so they know you're coming and you can get on the shuttle. The game day block party is presented by Green Street, Tom's Watch Bar, and House of Blues. The event's free. Just RSVP so we know you're coming and you can get on that shuttle with a free parking too. It's the game day block party for the Silver Boot Series next Saturday, not this Saturday, before the Silver Boot Series. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Game day block party. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The last chance to dance. The Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, in Texas, in the United States of America. Happy birthday, America. The world. I feel safe saying the world because I don't think other countries do sports talk radio. They should, but they don't. Anyway, guys, Astros are taking on the Colorado Rockies, looking for a sweep. They lead 3-2. I believe the game is in the third inning right now. It's on the TVs here at Landry's Seafood House. Beautiful view of the Gulf of America. Listen, man, it ain't political this weekend. It's just about being proud of our country. Sure, we have our faults. Sure, we have our differences. But we're all Americans. And tonight, the New England Patriots are still God's team. And America's team, but that's neither here nor there. Time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Oh, no. Bad day for the boxing community. You thought that sport was already on the ropes? Well, get this. Russian boxer Anastasia Luchkina let an endangered orangutan take a hit from her vape pen. The humanity! The orangutan displayed disturbing behavior after consuming the nicotine, losing her appetite, and not interacting with others. Now, apparently, the orangutan lies motionless throughout the day. Veterinarians fear the orangutan may have swallowed the whole e-cigarette cartridge. Listen, my dog is stuck in an effing cage. Let her live. Let Dana live, okay? Let her rip a dart or two. Like, your life sucks. You're in captivity. Oh, I can't blow off a little steam, a little nicotine, you know? Ripping a drag from a cigarette looking like Ben Affleck on the corner? Come on. Let Dana live. And Anastasia Luchkina, strong, powerful, independent woman that you are, I'm letting you off the hook. Lots of controversy. Gen Z, 38% of Gen Z would like a safe space in the office for hookups. And this is the weirder part. Solo play. Solo play? You animals. You absolute animals. I suppose now you're going to ask for like a good Wi-Fi connection so that you can access the best goody goodies to get yourself to where you want to go. Goodness gracious. It would be cool to have a safe space in the office for hookups. Not at our establishment because we're professional. We're a very professional operation. In fact, we're the most professional operation. Unlike this New York City fire department, a New York City firefighter was suspended for giving strong, powerful, independent women a ride in his fire truck. The FDNY has disciplined a lieutenant on ladder 18, which gave, quote, some hot girls, end quote, I call them strong, powerful, independent women, a ride on the rig. Oh. Breaking rules and risking public safety. Classic from the New York Post. The unidentified lieutenant, responsible for everything that happens on a fire truck, was suspended without pay for 5 days and transferred. That's it? You should do it again. A video captured two women laughing and waving to onlookers and snapping selfies while hanging out of the truck's cab window. No other firefighters on the truck were disciplined. Must be nice to be one of the other firefighters on the truck. It's a good old time. I thought this was America. It is 4th of July weekend, after all. Red Panda. Our American, honorary American, is okay after falling during the WNBA Commissioner's Cup. She fell off her unicycle. Her left wrist severely fractured at the same spot for the second time. Ow. Usually the calcification is supposed to... I'm a doctor. The calcification is supposed to make it unlikely that that happens again. So she had surgery, and now the recovery begins. Prayers for Red Panda, but first prayers for Yordan Alvarez and or Jeremy Pena. Alvarez is dealing with inflammation. Pena is dealing with a rib fracture. It's so small, so small. And on that note, you know it's not small? The love in my heart for you and the United States of America. Da-na-na, da-na-na. I'm not going to sing Proud to Be an American by Lee Greenwood, but I want you to have that in your hearts for the rest of this weekend. Don't blow your hands off with fireworks and behave at the Gold Cup final between the U.S. and Mexico. I love you. Killer Bees are up next. Big thanks to AJ out here at Landry's Seafood House in Galveston. Big thanks to Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. Big thanks to our YouTubers, our Twitchers. I'm sorry we couldn't connect to you today. Our callers and texters. I am merely Paul Gallant, the proudest of all Americans. Killer Bees are next. So long. Farewell. USA. 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 Toodaloo.